Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world, Margaret Mead once wrote. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. I love small groups. I am passionate about them because I believe not only that we can change the world in small groups, but then when we do it in small groups where heart lives at the center, we just as importantly change our perceptions of the world and our experience of ourselves in it. We change our world. We might even become happier. That might sound like a tall order for a small group, but sometimes a tall order is exactly what we need. I began the service by quoting the small group facilitator manual. Around us swirls a shallow, frantic, materialistic culture, it said, that leaves us cut off from our deepest selves, life's gifts, and needs greater than our own. It's a rather discouraging take on the world we live in, yet I find myself resonating with that statement anyway. Maybe you do too. Maybe you too sometimes feel like things are moving too fast, swirling around us, carrying us with it, whether we want to go or not. Maybe you too wonder at the meaning behind all the frantic activity, the calls to buy this or that, or be this or that, or do all these things. Maybe you too wonder sometimes what's missing. Some deeper connection to yourself or reason for being that seems always just out of reach. I not infrequently feel like I am running at top speed from one thing to another to make sure it all gets done. I'm not even always sure what it is or why it's so important, but there it is. There is so much that feels like too much. I think that's one reason why we come here. One reason we walk through these doors in the first place is to find, literally and figuratively, a sanctuary from all the craziness. Something different. Something deeper. Something to hold on to. Something real. And when we walk through those doors, many of us, what we do first is we breathe a sigh of relief. I don't have to believe this. I'm not told to do that. I am accepted here just the way I am. It's part of our first principle. We respect the inherent worth and dignity of every person. We lead with compassion. We make room for all. It's part of our covenant with each other. Covenant, our theme this month, is at the core of that sigh of relief. Rather than all agreeing to believe this or that, we as UUs instead agree on how we will be with each other. We instead agree on how we will relate with each other. So there is no required list of things to do, no boxes to check, no must, no you will. There's a lot of room here. Which is so good when you're coming from a world that forces and coerces and pushes and pulls. It's good to breathe in flexibility and freedom. It's good to be reminded that each of us at our core are good, that we can be trusted to find the voice of our own deep wisdom, our own spiritual path, our own soul journey. But that openness we find here, that welcome, that reprieve can be so appealing, we can sometimes forget there's more possible. That there is more than relief possible for our spiritual selves. There's more than just openness available here. There's also support and encouragement and hope and possibility. Our UU theology of covenant, while it leads with acceptance, also invites us into more. Reverend Victoria Safford writes that a covenant is an aspiration made new every day. And those of you who came to our water communion service last week, you had a chance to write down a covenant, a promise you wanted to make to yourself or this community. And together, we created a beautiful paper river. A river of covenants, a river of promises, of aspiration. You pledged to listen more, to care more, to take better care of yourself, to sing. To sing. You pledged to love this life as it is, to accept what you have and make of it what you will. The river on the doors of our hall next door is beautiful to me not only because it's blue and wavy and appealing to the eye, but because as I read those scribbled jottings and imagined the yearnings behind them, I was touched, noticing the shared vulnerability of our humanity. We all need to keep making promises because we break them all the time. And it's beautiful to me because while so often we feel we aspire all alone, that river demonstrates through the sheer number of bright blue droplets that really we're so much in this together. Our experience is so shared. So covenant is what invites us in with open arms exactly as we are today, even as it invites us more and more to become who we are meant to be. And today I want to talk more with you about one way to accept that invitation, one way to deepen the spiritual dimension of your experience here, one way to live into and lean into your hopes for yourself and this community. Today I want to talk about fresh ways we might apply the themes of the month, as well as the potential power of small groups, connection groups, also called in some churches, covenant groups, an invitation to more. First, those small groups. That swirl I mentioned earlier, that pushing, pulling, prodding culture of ours that tells us what to do and how to do it and when to do it and most of all to keep on doing it, it's not just out there. Eventually, all that noise, it gets in here and here. All those expectations that get put on us, eventually we start to put them on ourselves, telling us to go this way or that way, telling us we're not good enough no matter what we do, telling us we don't have time to sing, to enjoy, to really fully live. Hearing the sound of our own gentle voice amidst all the noise can feel just about impossible. And yet, our theology tells us we have that wisdom inside us. We have the capacity to hear what we need to hear, access our own elusive truths, reconnect with the wisdom of our soul. Certain settings are particularly conducive to that kind of reconnection, like small groups in which open listening is at the center, in which we make agreements with each other not to interrupt, not to give advice, not to try to fix each other, but instead to make room for each of us. The soul is shy, Parker Palmer writes in his book, A Hidden Wholeness. Just like a wild animal, it seeks safety in the dense underbrush, especially when other people are around. If we want to see a wild animal, we know that the last thing we should do is go crashing through the woods, yelling for it to come out. A circle of trust, he writes, is a group of people who know how to sit quietly in the woods with each other and wait for the shy soul to show up. So one gift of these kinds of heart-centered small groups is the potential for reconnection with your own deep wisdom. But just as that swirl, all those voices telling us to do this or that, just as that swirl can be absorbed by us, impacting us, so too does it impact others through us sometimes. As I heard this summer, when we're bumper to bumper on the highway, we are not only in traffic, we are the traffic. And when it comes to the noise around us, it's a rare person who hasn't been conditioned to throw our hats into the verbal ring along with everyone else. We've all been trained in this culture to speak up, say our piece, give our opinion, and maybe most of all, to help. We have so much good advice. And yet, we might find, I have found, maybe you too have found, that all our good advice doesn't always add up to lasting change for the person we give it to. You may have found that our opinions, well-researched though they might be, don't necessarily change minds or grow feelings of warmth between us and the person we've just shared them with. And you may have wondered, all those great ideas you have, well, was that really what they needed most from us? Maybe what they need is our listening, our support, and our confidence that each person can find their own way in their own life. In a circle of trust, the kind of heart-centered, listening-oriented small group I am talking about, we covenant around the guideline, no fixing, no saving, no setting each other straight. In a group like that, each person gets the gift of being deeply heard, and each person gets the gift of learning more and more how to really listen. A gift that stands us in good stead, not just here, but everywhere in our lives where we hope to be of service to other people. And we gain personally, too, because when we stop worrying about their problem and start instead trusting others' ability to handle their own life for themselves, we free ourselves as well. Rumi once said, "Your task is not to seek for love, but merely seek and find all the barriers within yourself you have built against it." When we listen, just listen to someone, trusting their wisdom, trusting they can find their way, we remove the barriers of our own opinions, judgments, and worries, and we make more room for them. We make more room for something fresh and different, a different way of seeing each other and relating and connecting. So, two gifts: the gift of space to reconnect with our own deepest self, the gift of connecting or reconnecting with others around us. And there is a third gift, the gift of reconnecting to life's gift, of bringing our theology to life, literally. How many of us go home after some inspiring event with renewed resolve to pursue a new direction in life, only to find our prior commitments closing in on us as soon as we leave the building? How many of us find some new insight, but without a clear idea of what to do with it or where to go with it, it stays just a thought? Or how many of us find ourselves reading or thinking or talking about spiritual themes, but don't see their promises manifest in our day-to-day lives? I heard somewhere it's pretty hard to think ourselves into new ways of acting, but ironically, we can act our ways into new ways of thinking. Sometimes we need to jump in, take action, try something, experience something, put our spiritual insights into practice. So this year, I invite you, every one of you, to join me in picking a question and spiritual exercise as part of the theme of the month to try out each month. A question that speaks to you, an exercise that strikes you. It could be 5 minutes, it could be 10 minutes, or an exploration over the course of the month. In that way, we don't just think about a theme, but we practice it, and in that way, bring our faith to life. If you do join a group, you'll get to talk about your experiences there, support each other, hear each other, gain perspective, have company on our spiritual journeys together. So, three gifts: reconnection to self, to others, to life itself. The antidote to a swirling culture that cuts us off, one path back to wholeness, to healing, and maybe even just a little more regular, everyday happiness. If it sounds like magic, well, it is and it isn't. It doesn't happen automatically. It takes intention and commitment, and it takes some time to develop the trust in a group that allows for the kind of deep listening I'm talking about. It takes time for the participants to wrap our minds and hearts around a different way of being together. It takes willingness for each of us to let our own guard down just a little, open up, and let something new emerge for us. It's not always comfortable trying something different, but when it works, and I've seen it work, it's beautiful. It's like magic. So I'll give you some facts. We'll begin in October. That's when you'll start to see little cards on tables. There'll be question cards. There'll be spiritual practice cards. It's similar to previous years, but now you are encouraged to take them home with you, to read them on the bus, while you're in your carpool, while you eat your breakfast. You could even bring a theme question to the family dinner table as a discussion topic. See what your spouse or children have to say about it. Because this year, children, too, are exploring these same monthly themes. And whether or not you join a group, everyone is invited to participate in bringing your faith to life through these questions and these practices. If you do want to join a group, sign-ups start today in Smith Hall. Every year, we tweak the groups a little bit, and I'm particularly pleased with how we're doing them. This time, there's a little less reading, a little less writing, and a little more sharing and more gratitude. And the groups this year meet in the fall and spring, so you get a chance to develop that trust over time. And if you're not ready for a whole series, Carolyn Cure and I will lead 3 drop-in groups this fall. Whatever you choose to do, whether you join a group or not, whether you do every spiritual practice or none, however you feel called to participate in this covenantal community, however you choose to live your faith, let us remember 2 things. Here, you in particular, are welcome with open arms, just as you are. And here, you are invited to become who we might be. And sometimes, magic happens. May it be so. Amen.